Hare Krishna. It's 11:30, so we can start the class with my introduction in Russian. Уважаемые преданные, пожалуйста, примите наши поклоны. Большое спасибо, что вы присоединились сегодня к очередному занятию университета Бхактивиданты. Как вы знаете, мы приглашаем старших учеников и учениц Шрилы Прабхупады на тематические обсуждения различных вопросов, связанных с философией практикой сознания Кришны, чтобы они поделились с нами не только информацией, которую мы так можем почерпнуть из различных источников, но наставлениями, акцентами, умонастроением, духом Шрилы Прабхупады, особенно убедительным в их исполнении, в исполнении тех преданных, которые всю свою жизнь посвятили служению Шриле Прабхупаде, его миссии, доказали своей жизнью верность ему и умение применять то, что оставил нам Шрила Прабхупада, приумножать и распространять все шире и дальше. И вот сегодня на нашу удачу Шримати Нараяни Деви, одна из таких старших учениц Шрила Прабхупады, поистине легендарная личность, присоединилась к нам и согласилась раскрыть одну важную тему, о которой Шрила Прабхупада часто говорил. Это тема важности Вайшнава Санги и также опасности Вайшнава Асанги. Шримати Нараяни Деви присоединилась к ИСККОН в 1970 году в Бостоне. И с тех пор она была во многом первопроходцем в различных областях служения. Она долгое время провела в Индии. Она была первым пуджари в первом храме ИСККОН, который Шрила Прабхупада открыл в Индии. Это храм в Калькутте. И Шрила Прабхупада поручил ей служение Шишрада Говинде в Калькутте в течение 4 лет, насколько я помню. Матри Нараяни служила им, этим божествам, первым установленным исконным божествам в Индии. Также она помогала Шриле Прабхупаде в работе на читании Чаритамриты, она занималась проповедью в Индии, распространяла книги от нашего храма в Бомбее, когда этот храм был открыт. И также, следуя наставлениям Шриле Прабхупады, который повелел ей изучать Бхагавад-гиту и Шримад-Бхагаватам, преподавать эти книги, эти шастры преданным, она провела очень много курсов по этим шастрам, по Шримад-Бхагаватам, по Бхагавад-гите и другим священным писаниям. Она была одной из самых старших преподавателей в нашем университете, институте вайшнавского образования во Вриндаване. Также написала несколько книг, и одна из ее таких самых известных книг Шримад-Бхагаватам – обзор Шримад-Бхагаватам, где все стихи Шримад-Бхагаватам выстроены в определенную структуру в форме удивительных лотосов, которые показывают, как красив Шримад-Бхагаватам, как организован он, и как легко его понимать, если делаешь это под руководством преданных, которые сами живут Бхагаватам. Также Шримати Нараяни Деви является старшим членом Совета по изучению шастр, то, что называется Шастрик Advisory Council. Это орган, состоящий из старших ученых, преданных, которые по запросу GBC исследуют различные темы, связанные с шастрой, сиддхантой, и представляют GBC выводы на основании священных писаний. И Матаджи Нараяни была одной из первых членов, участников этой важной группы преданных. Она много путешествует, проповедует, проводит очень много занятий, встреч, и преданные всегда ценит ее доступность, ее глубокое знание, верность Шриле Прабхупаде, ее мудрость и строгое исследование садхани во всех отношениях, например, для вайшнави, для вайшнавов. И мы очень рады тому, что она согласилась принять наше приглашение и провести занятие по такой важной теме, как важность вайшнава санги и опасность вайшнава асанги. So we've just said a few words about your class, and we have also introduced the topic, and we've spoken a few words about your biography in Krishna consciousness and your current services in ISKCON. So I can hand the microphone over to you, and thank you again very, very much, Matiji Narayani, for having agreed to join us today. We have over 40 and counting, because devotees are joining as the class starts. Senior leaders of the Russian Yatra, we have regional secretaries, sannyasis, We have temple presidents and leaders of different projects, Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas, and the average age we calculated of our students is about 50 years. So not exactly novices, very mature devotees, and very appreciative of the mood, of the presence of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions that are so deeply ingrained in the hearts of his disciples. That's the most precious course of our Bhaktivedanta University, and we look forward to hearing your presentation on the importance of Vaishnava Sangha and the perils of Vaishnava Sangha today. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janabalava Giribara Thari Yashoda Nandana Bhajana Ranjana Jamuna Dira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karati Bachalam Bangam Langate Pinyaki Pantamam Bande Si Guru Dinatavinam Omagyana Timiranda Sia Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuminitam Yena Tasamai Shri Gurave Namah. So the topic today is Devotee Association. And the basis of this class will be from Nectar of Instruction, verses 4 and 5. So verse 4, Dadati pati grinati guhyam akyati pichati punti pochayate chaiva sadviham piti lakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in association of other devotees. ISKCON has been established. That's the purpose of ISKCON, is to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. So ISKCON means association of devotees as the purpose. And the life of our society is nourished by these six types of loving exchanges amongst some devotees. So therefore, the people outside should be given the chance to associate with the devotees. And then they can learn how to reciprocate in these six ways and recover his dharmic Krishna consciousness. So, of course, Prabhupada also talks about the greatest gift, and that is Harinam, to distribute the holy name. Prabhupada quotes the first Shikshastaka, Sankirtan movement is prime benediction for humanity at large. So he says, not only is the chanter purified, but the heart of anyone who hears is also purified. And Prabhupada mentions not only human beings, animals, insects, trees, and other species of life. There is every morning here in front of MVT, in front of the temple, there is a Harinam party, Russian, going out every morning at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I saw today, yesterday, one dog, when he saw the party, he barked, and then he started following the Harinam. So as Prabhupada said, even a dog can take part in this chanting. Even a child can take part in it. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity. So this is the offering and receiving gifts. By the same token, one must also follow the Pratigrihati principle, be willing and ready to receive the transcendental gifts. So there's two parts here, giving and receiving. Now we're going to read from the purport, paragraph 2. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel. And over the feast, he openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of preeti or love in intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. In the previous verse, Sri Rupa Goswami advised, therefore, one should renounce worldly association and keep company with devotees. Sangha Tyaga Sato Vritte. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. This society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with a give and take policy, the society is now expanding all over the world. We are glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities, and people are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines dealing strictly with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he said, we have this give and take policy, give and take. So we give, and we also take. We receive, we give, and we receive. So this is the foundation of loving exchanges in this world. Give and take. And it is very selfish in this world. Somebody goes to work because he gets a salary. Without the salary, then he will not work. So politics is give and take. I do this favor for you, and I expect a return. So we are, whatever we dislike about our jobs, our relationships, is founded on this give and take philosophy. When I'm not getting what I want, the relationship is finished. So in this worldly context, give and take is the foundation of exchange. Rupa Goswami is giving the foundation of giving selflessly and receiving with an open mind and heart. So radical transformation of foundational selfishness. He's transforming selfishness into selflessness. So give and take covers other exchanges in this verse, not just gifts, also prasad, also inquiring confidentially. So what is it that makes giving and receiving praiseworthy? What makes it satisfying rather than selfish giving and receiving? When does it become Priti Lakshana, selfless love? What characteristics make it an element of pure devotional service? So we're going to talk about giving first. So before I tell you what I have here, I can ask you to give me some suggestions. What makes giving selfless? What makes it transcendental? What makes it good? I mean, what can we look for to see how it is a very good giving, a very spiritual, selfless giving? What should we look for in this interaction? Would somebody like to give a suggestion? Well, if there's no suggestions, I'll just tell you what I have. So there's three characteristics to look for in giving. The first one is quality. What is the quality of what we give? What is the quality of our gift? So we're talking about gifts here, not prasad and not inquiry. We're talking about the gifts that we are giving to others. So the first thing is the quality. Second thing is the mood, how we are giving. What is our mood in giving? Okay, I see something here from AD. We want that Krishna appreciate the action. Okay, that's a good. Of course. So, okay, the quality of what we're giving, the mood in which we're giving it, and the quantity also of what we give. That's also important. So first we'll talk about quality. So like Srila Prabhupada, I heard recently a lecture of Prabhupada, and he was saying some people, they give because it's useless for them. Just like one man had a blind cow, so he gave the blind cow in charity, thinking, okay, I'm giving in charity, but it's just not a good quality. And that happened to us in India, I think in Hyderabad. The first cows that someone donated to us were pretty useless. They couldn't give milk, and yeah, they weren't healthy. So that kind of giving is valueless. It's not satisfying. And there's something that happens in the USA. They celebrate Christmas, which is Jesus' appearance day. And everybody has to give gifts to other people. So there's something they call re-gifting. Like you get a gift from somebody, but it's useless for you. So next Christmas, you give it to somebody else. So this is not proper giving. No one wants it, but you're just doing it out of formality of giving. So it doesn't have to be an expensive one, lots of money. Lord Chaitanya gave Gunjamala to Raghunath Das Goswami and the Govardhan Shila. So the Gunjamala gave him shelter at the lotus feet of Radharani, and the Govardhan Shila gave him shelter at Govardhan Hill. So it's not the price, but the quality, what we offer. Of course, the holy name is the best gift, as Prabhupada said in the purport. And it's our greatest wealth, and no one can take it away from us. But it's the most valuable thing. And whatever circumstance we're in, we can have nothing to give. We can give a gift of Harinam, just like Dhruva Maharaj, a five-year-old boy. Well, not, he wasn't five, actually. It was the time of death. And he was ready to... The Vishnu Dutas were calling him to come on the transcendental swan airplane to go back to Godhead. So he didn't know. He couldn't think of any prayers. So what did he do? He chanted Hare Krishna. That's how he satisfied them. Prabhupada said, if you have nothing else, just chant Hare Krishna. If you can't think of any beautiful prayers. And that will satisfy everybody. And receiving is also important. I'll talk a little bit about receiving. Receiving the holy name. We have to receive also. Srila Prabhupada in a lecture said, everyone is thinking, oh, I have so many problems I have to solve. You wake up in the morning, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Prabhupada said, no problem, only one problem. How to accept Krishna. That's your problem. Your whole day. And Krishna is so kind, he says, yes, you accept me. Just chant Krishna, and I'm yours. But I'm so unfortunate, I cannot even chant. All problems solved by chanting Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya in Shikshastaka, he says, Krishna, you are so kind. You have come to me in this sound vibration. I can easily chant, and you stay with me. But I'm so unfortunate. I have no attraction. So when we chant the holy name and Krishna comes, are we ready to accept him? Or are we reluctant to receive his mercy? So Prabhupada really appreciated the devotees going out on Harinam, Sankirtan. My god sister Akuti in Los Angeles was with Srila Prabhupada in the garden reading Krishna book. And they could hear devotees going into vans, closing the doors of the vans. And Prabhupada said, where's everybody going? And someone said, they're going on Sankirtan. Prabhupada said, yes, this is Lord Nityananda's movement, going door to door, getting everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So Akuti had a realization I'd like to share with you. She said, we're daughters of the most wonderful father who's bringing all his children back to his hometown. Prabhupada didn't want us to hang around here. He wanted us to always be engaged in Krishna service. Otherwise, Maya will get us one way or another. So she says, I beg, borrow, or steal to get service for Prabhupada. He's done so much for me and for all of us. He's engaged us. If we can learn from him how to engage others, that will keep all of us happy. We have a lot to do. So I'll tell you about this god sister. She is in Alachua. She's in charge of the eco-farming. She's carving altars. She carved the Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And one day I met her and I said, oh, what did you do? She said, oh, today I had to carry a 50-pound bag of cement. She's 70 and very small and very thin, smaller than me. So, and she dresses the deities and she cooks and she does college preaching and she gives class. So she's really an example for us to follow, trying to give and also receiving the mercy. So here's another thing I'd like to share from Ananda Murti Devi Dasi. She said, before I came to the movement, I almost left my body. I prayed to God, please don't let me die. I want to know you. Then early one morning, I went to walk alone to think about God. And at that moment, I saw the devotees. It was incredible. I said, what is this? I went running to the feet of the devotees just to see who they were, what kind of people they were. They gave me a card. I said, yes, I will go to the temple. My impression from the devotees is they had a lot of love for this person they call Prabhupada. I always saw Prabhupada through devotees. Everything devotees did was for Prabhupada. It was very clear. So the quality. So that's how ISKCON should be, that people would like to run to our devotees and take their association. So the first thing is the quality of what we give to each other and to others. Second thing is the mood. The mood in which we give our gift. We need to give in a joyful manner. It's a choice. We can make this choice. If we are forced to give, if we're grudging, tired, then the joy is lost. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see everyone is very joyful there. Raghunath Das Goswami was forced to spend money for Nityananda to make the Chira rice, the chip rice festival. But he was overjoyed, and he did it in a very joyful way. He was joking, laughing. Everyone was teasing everyone else. The merchants, the shopkeepers of neighboring place brought all their goods to sell. And when they arrived, Raghunath Das purchased all their food and make them sit down and eat what they just sold. So he was very selfless. He took a self-interested exchange, turned it into a selfless exchange. He made everybody joyful. Now, what's an example of forced exchange? I have a friend who went to visit Puri. At the hotel, all his money was stolen. So he felt angry and cheated and hurt. He said, I came here with desire to offer everything to Jagannath, but the circumstance forced me to give everything. So my choice was to give joyfully or begrudgingly. So my attitude was my choice. I decided to choose to make it a joyful giving. Giving begrudgingly is in the mode of passion. So his money was stolen. He said, okay, I give it. It's Jagannath Puri. It's Jagannath is in control. So mood, the quality, and the third thing is the quantity of what we give is also important. Suppose somebody invites you to a pizza party and they give you a half a slice of pizza and a whole bunch of salad. That's, you wouldn't be very happy, you know. That's not supposed to be a salad party. So maybe that's all we can afford, but if we give open-heartedly with no thought of return, then devotees will appreciate. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, you hear devotees are eating so much up to here, so much prasadam. So when you go to Navadvip, Mayapur, in the spiritual world, be prepared to eat lots of prasadam. And by the end, Nityananda is throwing rice at Advaita. So anything given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is endless. So much abundance. Now the reality of scarcity is, we hear this all the time, economics of scarcity. So much demand, not enough supply. High prices. Fight for resources. That's how it is in this world. But Lord Chaitanya offers alternative. The spiritual economics means 1 - 1 = 1. you give, you have knowledge, you give, and you still have, and you get more knowledge, actually. So the example in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Kalavecha Sridhar. He was a banana leaf salesman, and he very, very poor. He gave 50% to worship Mother Ganga. And all devotees were amazed how austere he was. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, Kalavecha Sridhar is the richest man I know. He's hiding his riches. Lord Chaitanya used to steal fruit from him. And Kalavecha loved it. Lord Chaitanya said, you're a liar. You're hiding your wealth. You're the richest. So Prabhupada said to us always, don't worry, Lakshmi will come. Let the whole world come and we will feed them. He said no one should go hungry within 10 miles of the temple. Prasadam. Enough prasadam. When I went on in London, Food for Life, just now I saw on Facebook, he was honored by the Queen and now he's on TV, Parashuram, Food for All. And what was his prasadam? It was pizza prasadam, very nice pizza. And when I went to Sweden on Harinam, what was the prasadam distribution? Ice cream. So it's quite not like, you know, here it's kitschy. Can't expect pizza or ice cream here in Vrindavan. But of course, Vrindavan is very sweet. So quality, the mood, and the quantity, that's very, very important. And people will see, you know, they will be attracted to us. So we heard about gifts, exchange. Now next is revealing the mind, inquiring confidentially. As it says, Prabhupada explains, an experienced devotee will explain and inexperienced devotee will learn. And the members and supporters inquire about devotional service and the devotees explain. So one should inquire and open his mind to understand the situation of this material world. So I'll just give you an example of how people can join just by getting questions answered. My god sister Sudharma, 1974, was a time of trying new things, questioning the purpose of life. And she was at San Francisco University. She used to sit with good friends to talk philosophy. And she was exploring because they had no information. And so, but I think she said, I think each of us has in our core existence remnants of former devotional service we perform that carry from one life to another. I remember I was reading Bhagavad Gita first time. And I was thinking, oh, this philosophy agrees with my philosophy. Of course, I didn't realize that probably I got my philosophy from Krishna somehow along the line. Yes. And she said she was sitting in her room in college and she picked up Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and she just read one sentence and she said, oh, okay, finally, this is the book I was looking for. And she said, I never thought I'll become a Hare Krishna because they were walking. They looked very funny in sheets. We didn't have saris and dhotis in the 70s. We were in sheets, actually. very funny looking, but people were still joining because of the philosophy and asking questions. So here's another one whose question was answered, Kanti Devidasi. She said, I was a Catholic in my childhood. I always had one question about the animal. What about the animals? They have soul? So she heard a conversation, Prabhupada, with one Cardinal Danielu. And she said, this recording was like a lightning bolt to my heart. Prabhupada asked the same question I was asking. What about the animals? The Cardinal was confused. Prabhupada said, suppose a man has two sons, not equally meritorious. One may be a Supreme Court judge. Other may be a common laborer. But the father claims both as his sons. He does not make distinction. The son who is the judge is very important, and the worker son is not important. And if the judge son says, oh, my dear father, your other son is useless. Let me cut him up and eat him. Will the father allow? I was dumbstruck. He answered a question I had since I was 12. So, yes, we have to answer the questions of the people according to their level. So Prabhupada equated the judge son was the human being, and the worker son was like the animal. But they're both the sons of God, even the animals. So the next point, next exchange, giving and accepting prasad. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness invite the society's members and supporters to dine with them when they hold love feasts in all their branches every Sunday. Many interested people come to honor prasad. And whenever possible, they invite members of the society to their homes and feed them sumptuously with prasad. In this way, both the members of the society and the general public are benefited. So one of my god sisters, Chaitanya, she's no longer with us. She's gone back to Godhead, said, when Prabhupada distributed cookies in the temple room, it touched my heart how he always took the time to make sure each child received that special mercy from his hand. It showed his patience, tolerance, love, compassion, and how he saw everyone as equally important. So perhaps some of you have heard about Jayananda. He was a godbrother of mine, and he was his service was to build the Rathiatra carts and drive them during Rathiatra. So even when he had cancer, but his parents gave him money, $5,000, he gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada printed Nectar of Devotion with his money. And he was, well, up until his last days, he was working on the cart. So he had a relationship with prasadam. So I'll tell you about that. Jayananda worshipped prasadam. When a little prasadam spilled on the floor, he would lick it up. He loved to cook, eat, offer, and distribute prasadam in a big way. He even said prasadam with so much love and devotion that it made one immediately want to take some. Jayananda apparently could function with very little or even no sleep. Towards the last few days of the Rathiatra, he would sleep less than 3 hours a day. Yet he was the most energetic and enlivened member of the crew. His propensity to consume prasad was astounding. He could consume buckets of halava, plates of samosas, and potatoes without any side effect. When he was in his last days, he was put on intravenous diet, yet he would often ask devotees to sneak in huge quantities of samosa and cheese potatoes for him, which he would happily consume without any apparent distress. He would sometimes sleep in the Bhagavatam class since he was very tired. Yet later on, he could perfectly quote from the class or have a deep discussion about its contents. So I'd like to tell you a story about prasadam distribution in America. It happened in 1984. A very wonderful story about prasad distribution. Here is a devotee telling the story. It was 1984, and after distributing books at the state fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida, we parked in a Days Inn hotel parking lot for the night. Our van of five brahmacharis was fast asleep when we heard over a megaphone, "All right in there, come out slowly with your hands raised." I looked out the window, surprised to see the van surrounded by 10 police cars and more than a dozen officers with their guns drawn. We emerged from the van, squinting from the bright flashlights burning our eyes. The officers began to frisk each one of us. It means like put their hands to try to see if they had any weapons, though we were dressed only in gumshoes. "What are you doing here?" the officer in charge demanded. "We are distributing love of God in the form of books," I explained. "Prove it." I opened the van doors, thinking, maybe I'm dreaming. Is this a dream? I reached into one of the boxes, pulled out a Bhagavad Gita, handed it to the officer in charge. He intently inspected the book, then me, then the book again, until finally he broke the silence, declaring, "All glories to Srila Prabhupada." I was taken aback, as were his gun-toting subordinates. At this point, I was convinced this was all a dream. The officer in charge proudly explained, "I used to go to University of Florida and regularly ate the Krishna lunch. You practically put me through college. I even stayed 2 days at the temple." Turning to his associates, he pronounced, "These are great books, and you should all buy one." On his order, the officers began reaching for their wallets. Of the 20 police, I think 90% took books. We made almost $200. Our new friend then apologized for the abrupt entry, telling us that earlier that night, a gun store had been robbed, and the description of the getaway vehicle exactly matched our van. I doubt we got back to sleep that night after one of the most bizarre experiences of my life. But thanks to prasadam distribution, it turned into a great Sankirtan story. And there's many stories like this about these devotees. Now, I think it's 40 years they are distributing prasadam to the students at University of Florida. So Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture, said, "We can see Krishna by tasting prasadam. Therefore, one who cannot see God, he's advised to see God in different ways in Bhagavad Gita. Just like Krishna says, Rasoham of Sukunteya, I am the taste of water." So you can try to see God in the taste of water. I just had some, actually, Ganga water. It's Ganga water from Gangotri. You can get it online. You can order it. Ganga from the source at Gangotri. That's the taste of Krishna, for sure. At the present, we have many senses, Prabhupada said. You want to see God with your eyes, so begin with your tongue. This is another sense. Just like if there's nice prasad, food, I say, "Let me see how it is." "Let me see" means you're seeing. What do you want? "No, I want to touch in the tongue." So that is, "Let me taste." So Prabhupada said, first, we must taste God. Taste Krishna. We must taste. We will taste him in prasadam, and we can taste him in the holy name. Two ways to taste Krishna. So, stories of devotees, by other devotees giving these newcomers prasadam, they became devotees. So here, one devotee called Bhumi, my god sister, just before Prabhupada was coming in July 1972, devotees asked me, do you want to stay while Prabhupada is here? That's how I joined also. They asked me, you want to stay the weekend? I said, sure. So every morning, they gave me Mangalarti sweets. At the temple, I tasted puris and caramel made from condensed milk. For me, it was all about prasadam. So these six exchanges are being described between devotees, but Srila Prabhupada also in a lecture in New York in 1966 said we should have these six exchanges with Krishna also. You have to make friendship with Krishna. Like if you want to see somebody great, you have to make some connection, introduce yourself in a loving way, you give a gift. So if we want to go to Krishna Loka, we have to prepare how to love Krishna. So these six loving exchanges are described. We have to do with Krishna in the same, exchanging gifts, revealing our mind. And when I was when I first joined 1970 in Boston, each and every one of us once a week would have to go in front of the deity and reveal our mind. Report, what service did I do this week? What were my problems? So we had to do that. We were trained like that in the early days to reveal our mind to Krishna. And he would answer our prayers. So Prabhupada explains the process, how to love Krishna. You have to get up early in the morning. You don't like to, but you think, okay, I'll get up early to satisfy Krishna. This is the beginning. Then I have to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra on my beads. Prabhupada said, you may be lazy, you may not want to do it, but if you want to love Krishna, you must do it. In the beginning, you have to learn how to love Krishna. But when you come to the state of love of God, no question, have to. I can't wait to put my hand in my bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. I can't wait to go to see Krishna in the morning, first thing, Mangal, make my day Mangal, go to Mangalarti. It will be spontaneous. So we talked about giving. Now I also want to talk about being a good receiver. Receiving is just as important and just as difficult as giving. So does anybody have any ideas? What are the qualities of a good receiver? Why are people afraid to be a receiver? Of course, now it's COVID. So they're afraid they'll get COVID along with the gift. Yes, here somebody is saying something here. Again, I-80. Not to be obliged. Yes. We are afraid. Oh, if I take something from somebody, then I have to repay them. I will be obliged, yes. So the receiving principle. Prabhupada said we must be ready and willing to receive transcendental gifts. Open-hearted. So people are afraid, yes, we will become obliged. I'll become indebted to another person. Receiving, okay, I saw something. Oh, I missed it. Okay, yeah, let's see again. I have to put my window. Oh, it's in Russian. Uh-huh. Okay, well, you all can understand it. So people are becoming afraid of being indebted. It creates a certain burden of debt. You feel indebted and there's pressure how to repay. But there's a difference between indebtedness and gratitude. Debt brings it with it the expectation of repayment. And there's terms like we're born with five debts to the forefathers, the sages, the demigods, living entities, and other living entities. So gratitude acknowledges our inability to repay. What we received is beyond our ability to repay. We're receiving love, priti. Love cannot be repaid. It can be reciprocated. So debt is temporary, but gratitude is forever. So when we repay the debt, it's finished. But gratitude means no matter how much we reciprocate, it's never finished. So Prabhupada he repaid his guru, but his gratitude increased every time. The more success he had, he felt his debt to his guru was greater. So the debt decreases, gratitude increases. When Ramayana was over, everyone was back on Ayodhya and Sita Ram were on the throne. Ram expressed his gratitude to each monkey. And to Sita, he gave a special gift. And Sita tells Ram, I want to give it to someone else. I'm so indebted to Hanuman. There's no way I can repay you. So she's expressing her gratitude. Now, gratitude's forever and it grows over time. So in being a receiver, we have to think in terms of gratitude instead of debt. We can express our gratitude being specific and honest, just like Lord Chaitanya. When the devotees came to Puri and they were now leaving, he was calling each group from each village and expressing his gratitude to them. To Raghunath Pandit, your coconuts, how you're offering coconuts in your house. To Kulina Gram people, I'm your property because you're forefather Gunaraj Khan wrote one verse where he calls Krishna his life and soul. So sometimes also we might be embarrassed, humility or embarrassment. We don't want to accept things. But it's our duty to accept as part of that loving exchange. So even if it's austerity to accept praise, sometimes, well, usually we can always, like Prabhupada, he would not accept praise. He would say, this is the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. This is his mercy. So we have to be open-hearted as a receiver also to receive Krishna's gifts. So the next verse, verse 5, Sri Rupa Goswami informs us what kind of Vaishnava should be selected as a friend and how Vaishnava should be served. So text 5. Krishna iti yasa giritam manasa dieta. Dikshasti che pranati vishya bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vikyamananyamanya nindari shunyahidam ipsita sangalantya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, faith is defined by rendering transcendental service to Krishna, one automatically performs all other subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to discharge your devotional service is called Shraddha. So faith in Krishna means to accept the words he spoke in Bhagavad Gita in total without interpretation. And this will help us advance in spiritual life. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, one whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte, a kanishta. But by gradually following the process, he'll rise to the platform of Uttama, first-class devotee. So the problem with Kanishta, he can be swayed in his determination to engage in devotional service. He can leave the path. Now, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who is very faithfully engaged in worship of the deity in the temple, but who does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general is called Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. Three kinds of neophytes. So now I have these page numbers here. I don't know if I gave you this. On page 52, Srila Prabhupada explains that Kanishta is a neophyte who has received Harinam initiation from the spiritual master, is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. Then on page 53, Prabhupada quotes the definition of Kanishta according to Bhagavatam. Yes, which I just said, a person very faithfully engaged in worship of the deity in temple, but who does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general, is Prakita Bhakta. Then the third kind is Prakita Sahajya, sentimental materialist who generally chant the Hare Krishna mantra but are attached to women, money, and intoxication. This is page 54. Although such persons may chant the holy name of the Lord, they are not yet properly purified. Such people should be respected within one's mind, but their association should be avoided. Why should we mentally honor them? Because they have some taste for chanting Hare Krishna. But because they are engaging in sinful activities, their association is contaminating and should be avoided. So we give them credit for chanting Hare Krishna and accepting the deity form as identical with the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says, if one hears a person say even once the word Krishna, that person should be accepted as the best man out of the common group. So who is a pure devotee? This is asked in Chaitanya-caritamrita. A devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. So did you know Kanishtas can be pure devotees too? You might be a beginner, but you can be a pure devotee if you believe the holy name is Krishna. So then later, Prabhupada mentions Kanishtas and Madhyamas can also accept disciples, because if a neophyte devotee has faith, he can give that same faith in others and maybe be able to convince them to take up the process of devotional service. So pure devotional service begins with Shraddha, faith. Krishna is his name. So if one has faith in the holy name and in the process, he may be called a pure devotee. Because a neophyte, if he has faith, he can give that faith to others. He may be a neophyte because he's new, but he may already have some ingredients of madhya, such as faith in the holy name. But no appreciation for pure devotees, no ability to discriminate between innocent and envious. He may end up being defeated by some Christian preacher. But by associating with an advanced devotee, even the neophyte will develop understanding of the position of advanced devotee and become an advanced devotee himself. However, because he doesn't study the scriptures systematically, he cannot guide others very well. He doesn't know the scriptures. So Prabhupada warns that disciples of such devotees, being on the same level as their guru, cannot progress very well under his insufficient guidance. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a purport. Archa Vigraha is the Lord's incarnation to give facilities. Oh, yes, to give facilities to people like us who cannot see God everywhere. For the neophyte devotee, it's essential to worship the deity. But if we simply worship the deity without hearing about the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam, these things are essential, then the deity worship will be a burden. So this is actually from Hari Sari's diary, volume 3, chapter 1. At a certain point, it will be a burden, and gradually it will be neglected. The whole thing will be spoiled. So now I'm going to read each description, and I will ask you a description of the three types of devotees, the neophyte, the madhyama, and the uttama. And I will ask you, how should we deal with him? So here's the neophyte. He's received Harinam, trying to chant. He's interested only in worshiping the deity. He behaves inappropriately with devotees. His faith is soft and pliable. How should we associate with this neophyte devotee? Okay, I don't see any answers here. So we should mentally honor. Then the Madhyama, according to CC and Bhagavatam, he's initiated, he's engaged in devotional service fully. Krishna is the object of his love. He makes friends with devotees. He's merciful to the innocent. He preaches. He avoids the envious. His conclusive knowledge of Shastra is not very strong, but he has firm faith in chanting the holy name. And nobody can stop his devotional service. He's staunchly faithful, Shatavan. So how should we deal with him? We should offer humble obeisances. Now, the Uttama, he's not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean. He's realized an unalloyed Krishna consciousness. He very seriously engages in devotional service. He strictly follows all the regulative principles. He's chanting his 16 rounds. He's always concerned how to spread Krishna consciousness mission. And he's transcendental to darkness of this material world. So how do we, and he's recognized by his ability to bring many to Vaishnavism. So how should we behave with him? We should associate with and faithfully serve. So I'm going to go back now to the Kanishta. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, Ateva jaramukhe eka krishnana seta vaisha koriho tarar saman. One who's interesting in chanting the holy name, interested in chanting the holy name of Krishna, or who by practice likes to chant Krishna's name, should be accepted as a Vaishnava and offer respect as such, at least within one's mind. So then Prabhupada in the Purport talks about George Harrison, how he's become attracted to chanting the holy names of Krishna and his records. He has several times mentioned the holy name of Krishna. At home, he offers respect to pictures of Krishna and the preachers. And he has an estimation for Krishna's name and activities. So we offer respect to him without reservation, Prabhupada says. For we are seeing this gentleman is advancing gradually in Krishna consciousness. Such a person should always be shown respect. So I know, I have heard so many devotees say, I became a devotee because I heard George Harrison's recording. That's why I became a devotee. So many. So when I, one time I was lecturing in the Bhaktivedanta course, Bhaktivedanta course in, it was Bhagavatam was talking about how Krishna appears in every species of life. And I said, yes, in the George Harrison is the incarnation of Krishna in the form of a hippie. That's a species too, I think. Different species of life is the hippies. And George Harrison was the incarnation to lead the hippies to Krishna. So, yes, he's great. So what's the difference according to Chaitanya Charitamrita? Kanishta accepts the name as Krishna. A Madhyama accepts the name as Krishna. He chants continuously and he worships Krishna with some sambandha gyan. He has some knowledge. He accepts the devotee and the guru. He takes diksha. Now his knowledge of the shastra is not very strong. But he has firm faith in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and no one can stop his devotional service. Very fortunate. Shadhavan, very, very faithful. Shadhavan, Janhoi Bhakti Adhikari. Madhyama. So a Madhyama, yes, we read that definition. Uttama. He sees no distinctions. He has no envy for anyone. He chants Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly, avoiding the 10 offenses. And this is for Uttama. Uttama can also make progress. Prabhupada says he can be gradually elevated to the point of understanding there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. He should be very much respected by neophyte devotees. So when you chant Hare Krishna, your identity is revealed. And unless you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna does not reveal himself. He's not interested in blaspheming others. So again, Jayananda was an example of this characteristic of Uttama Adhikari. The most defining, and this is told by his friend who knew him, Perhaps the most defining characteristic of Jayananda was he never criticized anyone. Even if a devotee did something that really warranted criticism, he would usually not say anything, or else make the mistake appear as something perfectly natural. He never spoke harsh words or chastised anybody. Sometimes devotees would come to him with big ideas how to spread Krishna consciousness. Jayananda would encourage their ideas, however extraordinary. Same time, he was not a fool. He could always pick up the right man for the job. He could not even bear to hear criticism of another devotee. If such a thing happened, he would leave the room. These are the characteristics of Uttamadhikari. Everyone loved Jayananda, since he had completely transcended the bodily conception. So one devotee tells how he joined Krishna consciousness because of Jayananda. He came to, I think it was San Diego or San Francisco temple, San Francisco. And Jayananda was actually temple president, but he didn't know. And so someone told him, well, you can go and help Jayananda. He takes out the garbage. And he was helping Jayananda, and Jayananda was so happy, so blissful. He said, the man thought, well, if the garbage person is so happy, what must the other people be like? Everyone loved Jayananda. He would approach a drunk, a drunkard, a hippie, a devotee with the same compassion and enthusiasm. He spoke to the super soul and everyone, and everyone responded accordingly. Like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Jayananda's enemy was never born. Like the six Goswamis, Jayananda was dear to both the gentle and to the ruffians. He was as much at home with the Italians at the produce market as he was with the brahmacharis at the temple. Once a devotee was approached by a staggering drunk man in San Francisco who looked at his robes and asked, hey, where's my old friend Jayananda? So one time, Jayananda took the temple president to see his friends. They went into a bar where all drunkards were drinking. And the drunkards came to Jayananda and they gave him a bag of vegetables and said, oh, we all collected to buy this bag of vegetables for you. So during Rasa Yatra time, he would organize a crew of cynics, hippies, bloopers, uncooperative persons, and non-devotees off the street to help build the carts. He would get them to work for 10 to 14 hours a day, always glorifying them. He was extremely careful with what he considered to be Srila Prabhupada's money. When selling incense, he would sleep on park benches in bitter cold weather rather than spend money on a hotel. He had complete faith in Prabhupada. He made the instructions of Prabhupada the core of his life. And he realized that real association was through following instructions of the spiritual master. Unlike a lot of other devotees who would go out of the way to get some personal association of Prabhupada, Jayananda was content to work in the background, carrying out his instructions. He showed the superiority of association by Vani instructions over Vapu, personal association. But Prabhupada often, like in a class, he would call, where's Jayananda? Where's Jayananda? And Jayananda would say, oh, no, I cannot go. I'm too dirty. I'm too fallen. So these were the transcendental exchanges between Prabhupada and his dear disciple. So again, Prabhupada, in this purport, he gives a practical definition of Uttamadhikari, someone who very seriously is engaged in service of the Lord, strictly following all regulative principles, chanting prescribed number of rounds, always thinking how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. And he can convert many fallen souls, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So he always sees the form of the Lord, cause of all causes. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a prayer. I would like to end with this prayer from Krishnadas Kaviraj. I worship the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both advanced and neophyte. I request all of them to be satisfied with me. I am faultless because I have written herein whatever I have understood from Srirupa Damodar Goswami and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. I have neither added to nor subtracted from their version. Purport. Prabhupada says, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begs the mercy of all these devotees and asks them to be pleased with him. He says, let the neophyte devotees who are very expert in arguing, though they have no sense of advanced devotional service, who think themselves very advanced because they imitate some smarta brahmana, let such devotees not be displeased with me, thinking I have committed errors in this regard. I beg their pardon with great humility, but I am submitting that I personally have no desire to add or subtract anything. I have only written what I've heard in the disciplic succession because I'm dedicated to the lotus feet of the previous acharyas like Sarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Rupa Goswami. I have only written what I have learned from them. So we are only trying to speak what we have heard from Prabhupada and share that with you. And Prabhupada would also say, you know, people think that I have done something amazing. I only have one credit, that I haven't changed anything. I'm repeating what I've heard from my spiritual master, and that is my credit. So I'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can ask at this point.
Thank you very much for your explanation. Мадхамахан Прабху, значит, мой вопрос следующий. Прозвучало в объяснениях в Нектаре наставление, что преданному неофиту необходимо выражать почтение в уме. Так? И то, что они, ну, не знают философию, соответственно, не могут нормально давать наставления. Но, с другой стороны, у нас есть призыв, все могут проповедовать, все, только человек познакомился с обществом преданных и всех призывает проповедовать. Как эти два противоречия уместить? С одной стороны, чтобы проповедовать, требуется квалификация, как минимум мадьяма, а с другой стороны, нас всех призывают проповедовать, независимо от того, что ты знаешь и какова твоя квалификация.
On the one hand, the Kanishtha Adhikaris are described as those who do not have strong faith and who also do not know scriptures well enough or the philosophy, and we're advised to respect them in our mind. On the other hand, everyone is called upon to preach, no matter how young or immature in devotional service. How to resolve these two apparently contradictory statements? On the one hand, the Kanishthas are not, per their description, are not qualified to preach, and on the other hand, we encourage everyone to preach.
The question was how to understand, it seems contradictory that the neophyte devotees, we should just respect them mentally. They're not very qualified, but still everyone is supposed to preach. So yes, As was mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, they have some faith. Even the neophyte devotees have some faith. And that faith is greater than what the non-devotees have. So therefore, whatever little faith they have, they can preach. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever you know, you can tell to others. Just like little three-year-old Saraswati, Malati's three-year-old daughter, she was preaching, she would go up to people and pull them from the chatter and say, guess what? And the people would say, what? And she would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, yes, she is a great preacher. So whatever little the neophyte knows, he can say to others who don't know. He can also preach. He can also preach.
Hare Krishna, примите поклоны, пожалуйста.
Let us accept my humble obeisances.
Вопрос о принесении поклонов, как если мы вспоминаем каких-то преданных и кланяемся им.
Regarding offering our obeisances to other devotees, if we remember them, we want to make some, you know, we bow down to them.
И если мы кланяемся преданным, ну, есть разного уровня преданные, кто-то, может, нас обидел, или мы на кого-то испытали какое-то раздражение, гнев, мы у кого-то просим прощения за свои действия, или кто-то к нам какие-то вещи появил, и если эти преданные, может быть, не очень хорошего поведения, вот, или не, там, не инициированы они, можем ли мы им предлагать поклоны, или те, кто не в хорошей духовной форме сейчас. Спасибо.
In the process of our interpersonal dealings, we may offend somebody, somebody may offend us, and if you want to apologize and make some obeisances, but these devotees who you want to apologize to are not in a very good, we can say, spiritual form, maybe they really go on misbehaving. Should we really apologize in front of them and, you know, trying to somehow offer them obeisances because they may misunderstand us if they are not in a very good spiritual shape? So what's our way of dealing in this case?
So my question is, so you made some offense to these devotees?
We may offend somebody and somebody may offend us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is the Vaishnava etiquette that we should, try to please that devotee, offer obeisances, because that is, if you offend someone and they don't forgive you, it will be difficult for you. The negativity will come to you. So it's better if you are clean on your side. Don't worry about if somebody offends you. Don't worry. You have to forgive that. That you must be forgiving. But if you offend somebody, then it's good to beg forgiveness. Because then it won't be on your, you won't get the reaction.
Можно продолжить еще вопрос.
He wants to continue with his question.
Ага.
Можно?
Пожалуйста.
Давайте.
Угу. Речь идет еще о поклонах, когда мы предлагаем, просто вспоминая преданных, мы предлагаем поклоны. И если есть те, кто...
Простите, сейчас вы говорите о каком-то ментальном процессе, да?
Да.
То есть вы не в реале взаимодействуете с преданными, а вы мысленно предлагаете им поклоны, так?
Нет, okay, но в их отсутствие.
Okay, now he is talking about mentally offering obeisances to somebody without any personal contact. Well, he just understands that he could make some mistake, and you know, he doesn't have any direct access to the person, but he mentally wants to apologize, mentally wants to offer their business. Okay, now, I mean, it's a context.
Mm-hmm. Если эти преданные, они, может быть, там в интернете там, или еще что-то делают, против других, да, преданных или духовных учителей, мы слышим какую-то негативную информацию о них, у нас есть какое-то раздражение к ним, можем ли мы им кланяться именно потому, что, вот это мы слышим, мы испытываем к ним какое-то раздражение.
Я понял, окей. So, say, for example, we read in the internet that some devotee is offending somebody, he's criticizing some guru or somebody, and we feel some irritation, some resentment towards these people. And should we mentally try to apologize before them just for our resentment and for our critical mentality towards those people who offend others?
Well, it is not your mistake that you feel bad. It's normal to feel bad when you hear criticism of others, but you can pray for them that they will give up their critical mentality, but you do not make any offense. I would feel, especially if they are offending your guru, then it's natural for you to be offended. You're not making any offense to them, but you can mentally offer obeisance, but best to, you can pray for them, better to pray for them that they give up their offensive mentality.
Харе Кришна, мои поклоны. Вопрос касательно Рупы Госвами, где он описывает взаимоотношения вот эти шесть пар, и Гухема Кхьяти Пришхати Шрила Прабхупада объясняет, как обращаться с вопросами к старшим и слушать их ответы.
Окей, давай сейчас я переведу. It's regarding the six ways of exchange, loving exchange between devotees, which are explained by Rupa Goswami. And he is interested to ask about this, confidentially asking. That's the context. Okay. Пожалуйста, спрашивайте.
А вопрос, а как применять этот принцип среди равных?
Среди равных?
Да. Ну, если среди старших и младших, понятно, младший задает старшему вопрос, старший отвечает. Это то, что Шрила Прабхупада в комментарии говорит. А как он применяется среди равных?
Ага, хорошо. Okay. In the purport to this verse, Шрила Прабхупада explains that juniors should inquire from seniors about these confidential topics. But how do we apply this principle between equals?
Oh, very nice question. Yes, because sometimes you may come into a difficult situation. So you may tell your friend, you say, oh, I'm having this difficulty. What do you suggest? What can I do? How can I make advancement? What attitude should I have in this situation? You can inquire confidentially from your friend, and the friend can help you, because friends have different perspectives. They have different, and he may have also experienced how to deal with what you are going through. He may also have gone through the same thing. So with confidential friends, you can do that, but you have to trust the friend that it won't be on Facebook and the internet the next day. That's the thing. I mean, I give you an example, like if you're having some difficulty, that's what friends are for. Or even just, well, how can I increase my spiritual life? How can I advance? I have these obstacles. How can I remove these obstacles?
Уточняющий вопрос.
I would like to clarify one point.
Okay.
А если вот преданные чувствуют подъем, и у них нету трудностей, но они хотят улучшать свои любовные взаимоотношения, как им все-таки применять этот принцип, если нету никаких проблем, сложностей?
Mm-hmm. So, say, for example, if a person is on the rise, he is inspired, enthusiastic, and doesn't experience any problems. So in this case, how can he use this principle of exchange by inquiring confidentially if there is nothing, to confess about and nothing to offer?
Right. Well, I have one friend who comes to me and says, so what is your realization? What is your latest realizations today? Prabhupada says in the beginning of Adi Lila, Chapter 1, verse 49, purport, that devotees are always happy to exchange their realizations, just like scientists exchange their realizations in different conferences. So devotees, we like to exchange. Oh, today I had a wonderful prayer to the holy name, which I said, and I was chanting very nicely today. I'd like to share this prayer with you. So that's also, I mean, that's a positive way. You have no difficulties, you're happy. So if you're happy, that means you see newer and newer ways to chant, newer and new ways to read, something new in a purport. And you can exchange that with your friend also.
Thank you very much.
Mataji, we have one question from the chat. Is there a difference between neophyte and kanishtha?
No, it's the same. Neophyte is Sanskrit. Sanskrit is kanishtha and neophyte is English.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, мои поклоны примите, смиренные.
У меня такой вопрос.
Я чуть позже присоединился. Может, его и задавали. Часто цитируют высказывание Шрилы Рупы Госвами, что преданных не нужно ни ругать, ни прославлять. Но потом он дает Рупа Госвами ремарк, что уж лучше прославлять, чем ругать. Но вот часто задают вопрос, почему все-таки не стоит прославлять также никого.
Окей, хорошо. Well, some devotees say that you better avoid glorifying devotees, and we better avoid, you know, criticizing them. Better be neutral. But on the other hand, there is another statement that of these two, better we glorify devotees rather than criticize. But still, some people insist that better not to glorify. So why should we avoid glorifying devotees?
Well, I would agree with the statement that it's better to glorify than to criticize. Because when you appreciate devotees, then your appreciation also increases. I would agree more with that statement that it's better to glorify. It's actually said in Srimad Bhagavatam, that statement, 11th canto, that not to criticize, not to glorify, but then in the purport it says, but it's better to glorify. Because if you criticize, then you have, if you get a bad reaction. If you glorify the devotees, you will get a good reaction. So why not glorify? In fact, Sachinandan Swami, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, when he gives seminar on 10 offenses to the holy names, he's saying, instead of criticizing, we should glorify, we should appreciate. Radhanath Swami also said, we should appreciate devotees. I just saw recently, he said on Facebook, if you appreciate devotees, then you will get the benefit. You will get a very benefit. You will please Krishna. If you appreciate devotees, then Krishna is happy. And if you criticize devotees, then Krishna feels pain in the heart. So it's good to appreciate and glorify devotees. And you will get the benefit. You will feel very happy when you glorify devotees.
Спасибо большое.
Примите, пожалуйста, мой поклон, Матаджи Нарайане. Разрешите, пожалуйста, спросить. Вы рассказывали о классификации преданных Каништа, Матьяма и Уттама.
Please accept my humble obeisances. You just gave us a brief explanation of different categories of devotees, different levels, Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishtha.
В Нектаре наставлений, Шримад Бхагаватам и Читани Чаритамрити эта классификация применяется к трем видам преданных, уже практикующих преданных.
So this kind of classification is applied in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita to those devotees who are already practicing Krishna consciousness.
А в нектаре Бхакти Расамрита Синду, в нектаре преданности, Рупа Госвами говорит о этих трех видах людей, как о тех, кто имеет квалификацию к тому, чтобы приступить к преданному служению.
But in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami uses this terminology, these three kinds of devotees, regarding in the context of those who are not yet practicing, but they are just candidates to practice, just to start. And they already have such qualification. Uttama, Kanishtha, and Madhyama.
И Шрила Прабхупада такое ощущение, что как-то сглаживает это различие в подходах. И
Шрила Прабхупада doesn't seem to differentiate between them. So Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam speak about them as a practicing devotees, And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about them as a candidate to practice. They are not practicing yet.
So
what's your vision? What's your understanding of this difference?
My understanding is that they are practicing even in Nectar of Devotion. But the difference is there is a word added when you say Kanishta Madhyama Uttama. There's a word added after this Kanishta Adhikari. Adhikari means candidate, that he's qualified to be neophyte. There is Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. So there's no difference between the here in this Nectar of Instruction, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. But technically, there's a Sanskrit word that is making a difference, adhikari. If you add this word, then it means you're a candidate. But as far as I understand, it does not apply to non-devotees, someone who is not practicing. It applies to devotees who are practicing, but they are still desiring, they are aspiring to become qualified as, I mean, they are qualified as these different categories, but they're aspiring to be that. They're not exactly, you can, like a madhyama will say, well, I'm trying to be a madhyama. I'm not really a madhyama, but I'm trying. And that's the mood of the devotee, that yes, I'm trying to be a neophyte. I'm trying to be a devotee. I'm not really a devotee, but I'm trying. I'm aspiring to be a madhyama. I'm aspiring to be an uttama. So is with that mood, Sri Rupa Goswami writes Chaitanya Bhaktisamrita Sindhu.
Hare Krishna. Looks like we have no further questions.
Okay.
And I would like to thank you on behalf of our Bhaktivedanta University for sharing with us both your knowledge and experience, and also the vision of how Srila Prabhupada's instructions and how the principles of the Shastra that we know theoretically act in our lives. You gave so many wonderful practical examples for all the principles of association between devotees that you explained, citing your God brothers and God sisters examples. It brings everything to life. Thank you so much for this, Mataji Narayani, and we look forward to having more of your association as this Bhaktivedanta University continues to educate new generations of leaders. We will lean on support and wisdom and experience and the devotion of yourself and your God brothers and sisters as much as you allow us to. Thank you very much. Большое спасибо Матаджи Нарайане за ее замечательную презентацию сегодня, пропитанную духом преданности Шриле Прабхупаде, и с большим практическим иллюстративным материалом из истории ее духовных братьев и сестер. Давайте от имени от нашего имени поблагодарим ее. Большое спасибо Шримати Нарайане Деви Ки Джай, Шриле Прабхупаде Ки Джай, Гаура Премананде. Спасибо Враджендра Кумар Прабху за вашу помощь с переводом. Hare Krishna. Thank you.